Hi guys, it's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen, and I'm here to show you that balanced living works, and we're going to have a lot of fun while we do this, so hang tight. Hi everyone, welcome. I think this is episode 6. I can't believe it's already been 6 weeks that I've been doing this and fumbling my way through this. Anyway, a couple of really quick announcements. SandyKNutrition.com is just about ready to launch right now as I'm recording this. I've been working with a developer for the last few weeks. It's been kind of crazy, had a lot of hurdles, but I think it's going to be ready to go. And this website is going to be so amazing. It's going to eventually have all my recipes, my blogs. You're going to be able to go subscribe to it. And you're also going to be able to search for recipes, print things off. My podcast will be there. I'm just really excited about it. So please, you know, go there, subscribe, sandyknutrition.com. And you're going to be able to find everything that you need right there. So that was the major announcement that I've got. And again, I'm going to thank you all for listening because I'm really getting excited at the subscribers that are coming on board for my podcast, my little podcast just from Sandy K. Anyway, please do go to Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. And please give me a 5-star rating and make some nice little comment because that will really help me to be found by all you other 40-something year old ladies and up to listen to my podcast. And I hope it's useful and helpful for everyone. Okay, so now this week I did want to talk about a topic with my friend whose daughter was diagnosed with PCOS. So PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, has become pretty commonplace these days with young teens as well as young women. And there are many causes to this. I'm not going to get into the real medical side of it. And I'm also going to preempt this to say this podcast is in no way medical advice. It is for educational purposes only. But really, what I wanted to talk about before my friend comes on is the advocacy side of it. And I might even do an entire podcast about advocacy. Because in this day and age, I feel being able to advocate for yourself and your own health is more important than ever. I'm seeing a lot of issues with, I guess, pertaining to control with some, general physicians. And maybe this is getting into more of a controversial topic, but it happens because I guess people have a lot more power and knowledge in their health than ever before. And I personally love that. I love it when somebody says to me, oh, I've been reading about this. And of course, your source of information is critical. You hear this term Google doctor all the time. And, you know, many physicians get offended by this if you're Googling information. But guess what, docs? There's a lot of really, really valuable and reliable information on Google. So, we just got to have physicians move with the times. People are going to know a lot more about their health. And really, that's my role as a registered holistic nutritionist. It's to educate. I am not here to provide you with medical advice. I'm not a doctor. But guess what? I research a lot. And my primary role is to educate. And I always look for solutions that are a natural solution before it gets to a point where you have to have medical intervention. So my friend here on this podcast, she did exactly that, where she advocated for her daughter, which I love. I mean, she did the work. And sometimes it's tiring, people. It can be tiring to go and research what's going on, what's happening to my body, or in her case, to my daughter's body. Let me figure this out with my team. And I talk about my team because in Canada, it seems almost like we are conditioned to believe that we shouldn't have to pay for anything. But guess what, guys, ladies, that's not the way our times are moving. So I personally, I have a team. I have an osteopath. I have a naturopath doctor. I am also a nutritionist. I have a physician. I also have an endocrinologist. So I have a team. And guess what? Everybody on my team advocates for my best health, including myself. So I am not going to go to one doctor and take one doctor's opinion if it's something that I'm not sure about. And that's what I love about what my friend did here. Her road is not or was not an easy road, but she chose a path along with her daughter that was the right path for them. And the entire time, she did everything in her power to ensure that her daughter was getting the right treatment for her. So, with that said, I am going to cut over to the interview. And again, thank you so much for listening. Everyone, today I have a special guest, and she has decided to come on today to talk about her and actually her daughter's journey with PCOS. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Now, PCOS is short, an acronym for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And there has been an increase in diagnoses of PCOS with teenagers and women in their 20s. And my friend here has decided to come on to talk about it just to bring an awareness to it. So perhaps you can tell me when it all began with your daughter and what were the signs and symptoms.
So it probably started when, now this, we've been dealing with this for over 5 years. So it probably started back when my daughter was in grade school. So in her senior years, grade 7, 8, we started seeing acne. And I had acne as a teenager as well. So I wanted to make sure I was well on top of it. But I had those, you know, what we called it back in the day, we called them underground. Today we call them cystic acne. So I had some as a child, and I wanted to make sure I got her, because I remember it was awful. I hated it. And I wanted to make sure that I gave her everything that I could, because I didn't want her to have to go through it. So we tried everything we could over the counter. So this grade 7, grade 8 wasn't really doing the trick. It would kind of moderately work. We eventually went, it got worse, you know, as time went on, as she got a little older, and we made our way to the doctor and, you know, talked to the doctor about it. And the first time, this was probably grade 8, and they kind of ignored it, pat us on the back and said, you know, it's, every teenager has some acne, it's, you know, it's character building, you know, you'll get through it. Once you start menstruating, it will regulate itself.
Okay, so this is with your general practitioner, your GP, physician, and this would have been what, maybe grade 9?
No, this was definitely grade 8.
Okay.
Grade 8, because it was pretty persistent. You know, she was a competitive athlete, so a lot of, you know, she worked out a lot, but her regime, as you know, showering after and skincare was impeccable.
Okay.
So we went home. You know, we tried every topical cream, you name it, face wash, you name it, from Shoppers Drug Mart, from Sephora. I think I bought everything under the sun.
I think
I'm a VIP member at Sephora because of everything that we bought.
Right.
So again, you know, probably in the, fast forward another year later, she still hasn't had her menstrual cycle. So we're looking at 14 now. We went back to the doctor and said, yeah, it's still not working. I think we need to look at something else. Again, we were kind of ignored. We got some topical cream. You know, don't worry, your period's coming any minute. Hold tight. And as soon as it does, things will start to regulate.
Okay. And so this is still grade 8 at 14?
This is grade 8, I would say.
Okay. And then what was your next step after the acne was not going away, the topical creams were not going away? What did you do then?
At that point, we probably saw, then we kind of just dealt with it as best we can. And then we probably went to go see the following year in grade 10. We probably saw our first naturopath at that point. And this naturopath, I think she gave us the wrong test to start, because we went in, and I went in suggesting that maybe it was a food allergy of some sort. At this point, we did a food allergy test. And there's a number of them out there.
Yes. There are a number of food allergy tests out there. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding them in terms of accuracy. So as I understand it, that made you change her diet completely.
Go gluten-free, dairy-free, and avoid dairy, and I think sugar-free. As that mother, I went up and down those aisles, and I was grocery shopping for anything and everything that was gluten-free. And we did okay.
And how did that help her acne?
Absolutely nothing. It actually got worse.
Okay.
So we probably stayed on this diet for another... I think we tried some other acupuncture type things, and it didn't get any better. It didn't get any worse. It got marginally better. It would kind of go in and out. And then at this point, I think it must have been 9 months later. So we're into grade 11 now, and she was tired of going to doctors. We had been to a number of different acupunctures and naturopaths and our doctor and this one and that one, and she was tired of it. She's like, you know what, I'm just gonna have to live with it. And she was frustrated. At that point, somebody mentioned the word PCOS, and I started researching more and more about it, and it sounded exactly what she had, the irregular period. So she didn't get her period until she was closer to 16, which is a delayed period. She had the bad acne, which is another sign, which is high levels of androgens in the body, male hormones that are coming out.
Okay, yep.
Acne, oily skin, and those were her signs. So,
but also she had the ultrasound on top of it, right, which showed the cysts on her ovaries. So there are many signs of PCOS, and not everyone is the same. Not everyone presents the same. Sometimes you can have patterned hair growth where, you know, like on the chin, upper lip, that sort of thing. Acne is another sign, but it's really about putting all the pieces of the puzzle together to get a proper diagnosis.
So at this point, I was doing a lot of research on PCOS, and I brought it back to our GP and suggested PCOS. And at that point, she looked at, because at that point, it was on her face. Not only was it all over her face, but it was all over her back, her shoulders and her back as well. So at that point, the doctor's like, yeah, let's do a full test. But at that point, she was pushing. She said, you know what, we need to put her on the pill and Accutane.
Okay.
Both of which I wasn't comfortable with.
So you opted to not go that route.
Correct. I had done enough reading and research, that had PCOS. It was very, very difficult for me to find anything. And I believe, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a researcher, I'm just a mom, but in what I found was what doctors, their knee-jerk reaction is to put you on the pill to regulate your period. And what happens is that masks the issue of what PCOS actually is, and that's not solving the problem. It's just putting a Band-Aid on it until later. So what the doctor had said to us was, we'll put her on the pill, we'll put her on Accutane, we'll get things under control, and then later on, when she does decide to want to get pregnant, we'll take her off the pills, and if she has issues, we have more pills for that. There's more medication.
Okay, so let me just pause here for a second. So this is actually very, very common, and we are not in any way providing you with medical advice here. See your own practitioner. But what I will say is it's very common for conventional medicine to put, whether it's a teen or someone in the 20s, to put them on the pill. But that actually prevents them from ovulating. And ovulation is a very important thing that you want to encourage when a woman has PCOS.
Right.
So it is a mask and it's not a cure. And the other thing I wanted to get back to was the whole discussion on the diet. So when that first naturopath, this is why I am also a huge advocate of balanced diet versus cutting out entire food groups unless you know you are very allergic to something. So many of us might show sensitivities in one of these types of allergy sensitivity tests just because we've eaten it and it's in our blood. And so you have to be careful. There are a couple that are very accurate, but you have to be careful with these generic sensitivity tests because many of us will come out there and say, oh, wow, I'm sensitive to absolutely everything.
Yeah. And that's what the test showed, is she was sensitive to everything that was in her diet. And so we had to do like a complete switch over, which was wrong. So in my ignorance, and remember, eating is hard. And so we were told to go gluten-free. So everything I was looking for was gluten-free. And what I did was, that was wrong, is everything that is gluten-free is high in carb. What I didn't realize is high in carb means high in sugar, which then raises her male hormones, those androgens.
Okay. I'm going to just stop you there because there are different causes of PCOS. And with your daughter specifically, it was relating to blood sugar. And when you were feeding your daughter a gluten-free diet, you weren't looking at the carbohydrate amount. And many gluten-free diets are very high in carbohydrates, which exasperated her situation.
Which I didn't know.
Right.
Put that connection together. So yeah, eating is hard.
Yes.
Reading those labels is hard. Sorry, my phone's ringing. So that was a big thing. And so once I did that connection, I went into the grocery store and I ran frantically around the grocery store picking up everything that, all my normal things that I would buy. And I started reading all the labels. And I almost cried in the grocery store. Like, oh my God, over the last year, where I thought I was helping her, in this journey, I was actually making it all worse.
Right. And then you actually went back and saw a different naturopath doctor, correct? And what did this naturopath doctor do?
So she looked at blood work. So number one is she looked at all of the blood work that we had done before. And there was a few things that she had noticed. One was, at this point, her diet was very low in sugar, but yet her sugars were high. So anyway, she diagnosed her, she really took a deep dive into her blood work. We worked with a dietitian as well, and a nutritionist. So we worked on her food. She put her on a number of different supplements. Number one was seed cycling, which we've talked about before.
And if anyone wants info on seed cycling, I have a one sheet info. You can send me a message after this podcast. I'd be happy to share that with you.
So flaxseed for the first day 1 to day 15.
Yeah.
15 and on. She put us on zinc. Zinc is very good for, help me out here, Andy.
Yeah, so let me know what she was on. So she was on the seed cycling. She was on zinc. She was on an androgen reducing supplement. It helps to flush out excess androgens, which is what happens with women who have PCOS, which is what can cause the acne. It can cause abnormal hair growth. It can cause all of these things. So, which is amazing. So, and it's also a natural supplement. And zinc is amazing for the immune system. Actually, you see a lot of teens who have acne that they may see their acne improve with just zinc if they don't have other issues going on. So what else?
Chase tree
berry or Vitex is actually an herb that helps just balance out the ebbs and flows of the hormones.
And then other than that, I believe it is a multivitamin.
Great. Okay, so now she's been on this protocol for how long?
So we started this protocol probably last spring of last year. And in 3 months, we saw a significant improvement. So it took 3 months. So we did the diet. We switched out our diet to a low-carb, high-protein diet. So with the diet and the supplements, 3 months we saw an improvement. And also, at the same, I have to add in here, the other thing we did was we saw a skincare professional regularly, like weekly.
Okay.
So not only is important of the supplements being put into their body, the diet that's going into your body, but your skincare.
Yes.
And that's not only like, so she did a lot of facials, a lot of extractions. She took a really strong look at every product that we had in the house, and how she was using it, because a lot of times I've recommended many people to go see her. And the first thing she'll say is, bring me everything you're putting onto your face. And more times than not, the product itself may be good, but you're using it wrong. And so it's almost like having a prescription for your skincare. So we changed our skincare routine, what we were putting on it, but it also came down to our makeup. So in the summertime, she didn't wear any makeup, and this was during that first three-month period. When September came, she wanted to put makeup on before she went to school, because at this point, we're hitting grade 12. And the first week she went to school and she put on that makeup, her entire face clogged up and it erupted because the makeup wasn't clean. It wasn't good for her. So we switched over our makeup, and I believe the brand is called Inca. And I think they make it in Australia.
It's a zinc-based.
It's zinc-based.
Yeah.
It has in it topically, so she was getting it internally and topically, and it made a significant difference. 6 months later, she was clear.
Okay, so she, I just, again, want to pause here for a sec. Makeup and skincare is actually so important for teens, women, overall, for hormones, because believe it or not, some of our makeup, some of our creams can actually have hormones in it. So imagine, like, you've already got a bit of an issue with hormones, and you throw in some more topical hormones that get absorbed through the skin, our largest organ, and you've got a whole mishmash of junk going on. And, you know, so it's wonderful that you're taking a multi-pronged, I guess, approach in her care.
It's because it's just one thing. You don't do one thing. It has a ripple effect.
Yes.
And we learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Okay, so 6 months of this regimen with the new naturopath doctor and clean makeup, clean skincare, clean eating, lower glycemic, and I can explain that difference if anybody wants to know. There is a difference between low carb and low glycemic, and low glycemic is really the key because that is what really truly affects your blood sugar. So, you know, this is not for weight loss because I know that your daughter is extremely fit and some women with PCOS can have weight issues. So,
the other supplement, Sandy, sorry, I forgot to mention, was the inositol.
Okay.
Right. That was the other piece, and that has a blood sugar.
Yes, it does. Yes. Okay. It helps to balance out your blood sugar. Amazing. So that was 6 months and you saw an improvement, correct?
Oh, at 6 months, her face has cleared. So it was long. It was a long 6 months, especially for her. We're not in the clear yet, so she still has some on her shoulders and her back, but we're almost there.
And this is now total how long? Like, I think about 8 months or 9 months, right?
Yeah, we're close to 9 months.
That's so amazing.
Six months, we did another blood test just to kind of see how the improvement of all of this has been working. As, you know, because you see the improvement on the skin externally, but we're also very concerned on what's happening on the internally.
Of course. So
we did another test at 6 months, and everything, all her androgens, all of her hormones were starting to balance, so they were moving in the right directions, so we couldn't have been happier. And to note is, maybe about a month ago, we finally got in to see our gynecologist, which was her first gyno appointment, and it probably took 9 months to a year to actually get the appointment. Mm-hmm. And when we went in, and you know, she kind of looked at us and said, you know, all teens have a little bit of acne, and she was kind of going down that same road. And I kind of stopped her and I said, these are the pictures of what she looked like before. Because she was looking at her and she looked completely fine. You would never have known. And I shared with her the recent blood test, and she was shocked. So, and you know, she agreed that the best course of action is always a healthy diet and exercise.
See, I love that. I love that this conventional trained doctor loved your protocol and supported you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Keep doing it.
Great.
So,
okay. So, is there anything else? Like, I know we briefly talked about future prognosis. So she will have to be careful of her diet always.
Always. So she will always have ups and downs. She's very sensitive to the foods that she eats and how it's going to affect her body. So she will, for life, have to manage this.
And this is relating to genetics. I mean, you know, I talk about this all the time because, you know, there's external factors, there's nature, there's nurture, there's stuff that's within us that we can't necessarily change, and diet and lifestyle are a way to manage it.
Right. So, and on another note is my younger daughter, recently we did a blood test for her in the summertime because I wanted to kind of baseline and see where she was at. And crazy enough, and this just goes to show you need a professional to work with, is we looked at her blood test. Our GP said, no, nope, she's totally fine. She did do the ultrasound. She did have cysts on her ovaries. But again, that is not, like as we said, that's not indicative. Like, that is not proof that she has PCOS. But the rest of her blood work looked in line.
Mm-hmm.
But her acne has gotten worse over the last 6 months. She started menstruating 6 months after this blood test. So I just recently brought her in to go see the same naturopath, and her hormones would have changed significantly once she started menstruating. So we pretty much put her on the exact same protocol. So she's
excellent.
Same route as her sister, but we're ahead of it. But having looked at her blood test, I felt like I should have known with number two, and should have started her even earlier. But we kind of hoped that she wasn't, but she is. So we'll
okay.
have both girls following the same route.
All right. Well, you know, I'm just going to close this off and thank you so much for coming to talk about this. I so commend you as a mom who advocates for her children, and you've done so much. And I mean, I can't say enough how much I respect the fact that you are doing everything you can to ensure your daughter's best and optimal health. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Join me next week where we cover more exciting topics just for you ladies over 40. This is all for you. Let's live our best life now. Let's live it healthfully. Let's be balanced, and let's live it well and have a good time while we're doing it. Bye for now.